welcome to Terragard, a world of adventure.
Atos, come and face me!
Of heroes.
Elroy! Jump!
Of battle. Of monsters. Welcome to Terragard Tales, Season 1, The Lunar Sundering, written and narrated by D.S. Tierney.
Birth of the Bonyu, Part 4.
When Elna woke, she sat against the stone wall surrounding the spring, and no memory of how she got there. Blood pounded against her temples, trying to break through. Elna blinked to sweep the cobwebs from her mind.
Cobwebs?
She mumbled, recalling with great horror the ordeal with the spiders.
Soyza, she's awake!
The voice was that of a young woman. Not understanding whose voice it was, it left Elna wondering if Kaya learned how to speak. Perhaps Trogamore taught the wolf while she slept.
But who is Soyza?
A man stepped into view, kneeling before her with a dripping rag he pressed against her forehead. The coolness penetrated her skin, shocking her brain back to a state of lucidity. She remembered Soyza and the girl coming into the cave, remembered dying from the spider bites, remembered Kaya.
Kaya!
Elna pushed the man aside and stood, spinning around to look into the spring. Even as she stopped, the world continued moving. She stumbled and would have fallen if not for the steadying hands of Soyza.
"Where's Kaya?"
she asked. The spring was full of water, but no wolf.
"Here,"
the woman answered.
"We moved here once the water got too high."
Kaya was a few feet away, laying on the cave floor. Elna crumpled to the ground and buried her head in the wolf's soft fur, who moved her head and licked the air, tail wagging lazily when she saw Elna.
"She tries to bite us if we move her,"
the girl said, rubbing an arm recently bitten.
"The loyalty of the wolf is fierce,"
Soyza added.
"Much like the dragon."
Elna found the strength to grin and said,
"Has it threatened to eat you yet?"
"Many times, in fact."
"If you die, it will be a certainty,"
the girl added.
"Please don't die, if at all possible."
Soyza smiled as he offered a piece of sugar root to suck on.
"How are we still alive?"
Elna wasn't complaining, even if it sounded like she was. The sweetness of the sugar root cut through the thickness in her mouth and chased the shakes out of her legs.
"It was through no doing of ours,"
Soyza answered, chewing on his own stalk of sugar root.
"The water,"
Elna answered for him. Both nodded. Trogamore's refreshing spring water was truly a miracle. But why then did she still feel groggy, weak, and her body as if the innards were chewing themselves up? And why was Kaya not on her feet? Were they not drinking enough of it? Elna crawled back to the spring and took a drink. The cool water burned her throat, but offered no other effect. Another drink, and another. She continued drinking until her gut screamed and she retched it all onto the ground beside her leg. The other two averted their eyes, but she could see the forlorn look they were so terrified to show.
"It healed the cuts on my face," the girl said.
"Can't heal the poison? How can that be?"
Elna could resign herself to the void, but knowing that Kaya would die first was too hard. Salty tears stung her eyes, and she bit her bottom lip.
"I am sorry."
Soyza put a hand on her shoulder.
"It is what the dragon said. Magic laced the spider's venom, making it beyond the water's ability to cleanse."
Elna wept for a time, a silent heaving that concluded with a raspy cough. They watched her silently, eyes downcast. She needed a change of subject.
Soiza, she said as she wiped tears away with the base of her palm. Is that a tribal name?
Yes, he replied with a smile. As is yours?
Elna looked over at the young girl.
Porta, she said. From the fish and river tribes.
Grass and field, Elna responded.
Fish and River was located on the southern boundaries of what they considered the archipelago.
Are you both from there?
Canyon and stone, Soiza said.
Elna flinched, but the man didn't react if he noticed. Of all the archipelagans, the Canyon and Stone tribes were the most aloof, rarely attending councils or interacting with other tribes. Rumors persisted that they were themselves the Raven Dwellers, but that was untrue. As Mother Ardentra said, they just believed odd things. The canyon they lived in was deep, and the Great Mother often obscured from their view. To them, the daylight was their god.
So odd, Elna thought.
Yet not so odd. Not any longer, given what Elna knew about divinity and the Great Mother. Freeing herself from the idea proved to be difficult, and she often found that she fell back onto the belief.
Is that where we are now? Elna asked. These mountains. Are we in Canyon and Stone?
Difficult to say,
Soiza shrugged, his face reddening with embarrassment.
The journey felt long, but...
The sun never rose, and the sky didn't change. You could have walked for a century, or in a circle for a single day.
Century?
Borta asked. Elna laughed, but didn't explain.
But you came from Canyon and Stone.
Yes, Soiza answered. The canyon valley was not hit as hard as what we have seen. Many tribes from all over the archipelago came.
So what brought you here? Elna asked.
The old mothers sent many pairings into the storm, hoping we might find an end to the destruction or a new place to live.
It made Elna sad to think of others in the storm, searching for something that did not exist. The dragon told her many times these storms covered the world. How it knew these things was beyond her, but she believed it. Trogamore held many secrets and truths.
Now, what brought you here?
Ah, to that we owe the Father of Light, Kerfolos.
Who?
Soiza smiled.
The Father's Light has not risen in many turnings. So he came down to us. As Borta and I journeyed, we saw a light ahead guiding our path.
It is true, the girl added. I did not believe in Kerfolos, but the light led us, and it moved. Each place we saw it, we journeyed to, and found safety.
Finally, we saw the dragon's fire, a portent if we ever needed one.
We have been without food for days, Borta said, except for ice to melt and a few last sugar roots.
Elna would have offered them some meat, but the dragon's fire destroyed all she had stocked.
You mentioned other tribes made their way to the canyon. Did anyone from Crassen Field?
Both Soiza and Borta nodded.
Many, yes.
Elna smiled, an involuntary action, but believing some of her tribe made it, that someone other than herself was alive to carry the legacy, inspired hope. Ardentra would not be among the survivors. The old mother died during the first storm, but she recalled another from a neighboring tribe, a squat woman with hairy feet and unpleasant smiles.
Was an old mother named Gersala among them?
Borta's expression was vacant while Soiza smiled with a cockeyed tilt to his mouth in an effort to offer comfort.
I do not know. So many tribes came to the valley.
There are many old mothers, Borta said. Do you think one of them could help you?
Gersala worked wonders with healing herbs. Our old mother often called on her for bites. Maybe others possessed the same knowledge.
Elna tried again to stand, but the dizziness made her lose her balance. Soyza jumped forward and caught her before she fell into the spring. The sudden movement caught Kaya's attention, and the wolf snarled.
Careful now!
There's no time for caution. We need to get to Canyon and Stone.
Frigid winds bit Elna's cheek until she hiked the furs snug around her neck. Doing so exposed her hands to the wind, but her face needed the respite. When it became too much for her hands, she would bury them under her pits. Knuckles aching with frozen fire, she climbed over the trunk of a fallen tree and slid down the other side. Her knees buckled and she coughed until blood speckled the white ice. This journey, which Trogamore described as ill-advised, was eerily similar to her trek through the ash. There were arguments after her declaration to journey to Canyon and Stone. First from Soyza and Borta, who offered excuses of why they could not join her. They didn't remember the way, or claimed to be too weak to make the journey. As she dug deeper, she learned they were afraid of returning, and spun a tale of starving refugees, hundreds, all huddled in old huts or caves. Canyon and Stone was unsafe. As food supplies dwindled, the killings began. Tribal fighting and divisions until no one trusted anyone. It was the worst of the archipelago in one small valley, but those conflicts paled beside the anger of the world. Every hour the ground shifted, and monsters, mad from their disfigurement, grew in ferocity as hunger gripped their bellies. The pairs who were sent into the wastes were as much exiles as they were scouts. Soyza was an old man, and Borta, while she offered no useful skills. Neither knew what they would find, only that their leaving meant two less mouths to feed. Elna did not care about the possible dangers. Not when remaining here meant certain death. It was worth the risk. Pushing past Soyza was simple. Even in her weakened state, his frail form was not a deterrent. The dragon, however, was quite effective in stopping her. Before Elna could reach the archway, Trogamore's head slithered through its opening, coming to rest in Elna's path.
Move, she said, knowing it wouldn't.
They argued. Trogamore cautioned, threatened, and roared. She shouldn't do this, shouldn't risk herself. If she went, it would eat the newcomers, or burn them. Elna laughed. The dragon would do no such thing.
Then I will go to sleep and let the monsters do it for me.
It took time, but Elna got the dragon to promise it would not harm or let the new pair be harmed. And she, in turn, promised not to leave. It saddened her to tell such an obvious lie, but what choice was she left with? Elna waited for Trogamore to return to its lava, sitting with Kaya while she did. The old man smiled at her before tucking himself into an alcove, his snores capable of collapsing the cave. Only the girl was left, a scared little rabbit clutching her staff as she watched the cave mouth. Elna could feel her trembling from here.
I have to go now, Elna whispered to the wolf as she hugged her tight,
kissing the soft fur on her muzzle.
Hang on for me. Be strong and hang on. I will come back.
Kaya licked her hand and went back to sleep. Bullying the girl was not difficult, a whispered threat that made Elna sick to utter. Lies and threats. She wondered if the version of her living in grass and field would recognize this Elna, or had the wasteland changed her so much. Borta cried silently as Elna snuck from the cave and began her journey. It did not take long to realize how unprepared she was. Whatever expectation she held withered away. There were no paths to follow, no guiding lights such as Borta described, only darkness, wind, and cold. Her furs had seen better days. The countless fights left them tattered, hanging precariously by strands of gut thread, with many gaps for the cold wind to penetrate. In her haste to leave, she never considered food and water. Ice and snow could be melted to drink, but hunger would bore a hole in her stomach after a few days. Would the journey take longer than that? It was a question she chose to ignore. Elna let the furs around her neck drop as she pulled herself onto a rock. The winds quieted, revealing a sweeping valley lit by lightning bolts snapping three at a time. The valley floor shifted with giant spires of stone punching through the frost, rising high into the air. Was that where she needed to go? The sight deflated her spirit, but it was a tremor that took her off her feet. What she believed to be a large rock was a solid chunk of ice that shattered with the tremor. Elna toppled into a pile of ice shards before a fissure opened beneath her. Flailing, terror climbed her spine while the weight of falling crushed the air around her. Below, there was only a pit of impenetrable darkness. The root of a long dead tree brushed across her palm, and she closed her hand around it. The force of stopping pulled at her shoulder socket, and she cried out, "Ah!" Miraculously, the fissure was not wide. As the tremor stopped, Elna reached out with her left foot and planted it in a crag on the other side. Stepping, she pushed herself up and found a similar crag on the right. Steadying herself with her hand, Elna climbed to within a foot of the top. Solid ground was so close, so blessedly close, yet her fingers couldn't surmount the distance. Swiping over and over, the tips of her fingers burned as she scratched the skin free. There must be another way, a solution she was not seeing. This was not how she would die. She refused to believe it. Elna unwrapped the furs from her right arm, grateful that the fissure blocked the frigid winds above. If there was a tree root, perhaps there was a tree she hadn't seen. Whipping the strip of fur over the edge, Elna hoped to catch something and pull herself up. It was a foolhardy plan, and unlikely. Worse, the energy she spent flinging the fur up and over taxed her poisoned body. Spasms shook her legs so that she questioned if it was her or another tremor. "Great Mother!" she screamed, swinging the fur again. This time her knees buckled and she fell, but the fur held. Elna wanted to laugh, but tears had frozen against her cheeks, so that any movement stung as the ice cracked. There would be time to discover what the fur snagged, but now was the time to ascend. The spasms affecting her legs spread into her arms. An icy shroud of dread poured over her. Panic set in, and her feet kicked at smooth stone and empty air. Yet she moved. It shocked her back to the present. A tug from above, and then another, slowly pulling her towards the edge. Elna held on to the fur with both hands and found whatever toehold she could blindly kick to help her savior. Higher she rose until the precipice was within reach. Elna let go with one hand and grasped the stone, pulling herself up and flopping onto her back. Snowflakes danced through the sky and melted as they touched upon her fever-burned skin. Elna's breaths were ragged as bits of light dotted her vision, and two golden eyes appeared, looking down into hers. Elna sat up, and the wolf jumped back. "Kaya? How?" She reached a hand toward her friend.
"I told you not to leave."
Kaya's mouth moved, but it was the dragon's voice. "Tragamore." It was not a question, but a name said with growing anger. "What have you done to her? Is she soul-taken?" When the mischievous son took someone in the tribe, they changed. their behavior, their memories. The old mothers knew no way of saving them, and so those who claimed to come back from it were banished. Soul taken were anathema.
Pick up your fur and come back. I will explain everything.
Back? No, I'm not going back. I've gone too far.
Trogamore tilted the wolf's head and barked in what sounded like mirth.
Do you see the glow of light beyond the fallen tree? That is the cave.
It can't be. I've been walking for hours,
Elna said, and then coughed until she doubled over.
No, Pebble.
Kaya's nose touched her cheek, and she wanted to recoil, but it felt warm and filled her with peace.
Take the fur.
Trogamore's voice repeated softly. Elna held on, allowing herself to be tugged along by the soul-taken wolf. As they entered the cave, both she and Kaya collapsed. Seeing Kaya fall, Elna crawled over and wrapped the animal in her arms.
Kaya! No! Wait! Trogamore! What's happening?
She had never seen someone soul-taken, only heard the stories. Was this what happened when the mischievous sun was done with them? The dragon appeared from the hole in the back of the cave, breathing warmth to chase away the chill.
She is as she was before,
the dragon said.
What did you do?
You promised you would not leave.
What did you do?
Elna stood, defiant.
I bonded with her to find you.
You stole her soul!
That is not true,
the dragon replied.
While the magic can be used in that way, what I did was a shared experience. I was not sure I could. It needs to be a mutual desire. Even as we searched, Kaya's uncertainty grew. Her loyalty to you went so far as wanting to sabotage my effort to find you, but I believe she felt my fear for your safety. You would have died out there.
I'm dying in here,
Elna said as she turned away and sat beside the wolf. Kaya whined, and Elna helped move her head to rest on her lap.
We're dying in here. What choice do I have? Will you keep me here and watch me die? Watch my flesh rot to bone? Will you cry as I turn to ash?
Pebble.
Trogamore reached its head deeper into the cave.
Exactly. I am a pebble to you. Not just in food, but in time. My life is a moment of a breath next to yours.
I never thought of it.
Dragon.
Elna could feel Kaya getting weaker, her lungs rattling with each labored breath.
She was so strong out there. How?
It is part of the magic that bonded us. One draws strength from the other, as they also give. The magic of the bond is stronger than that of the poison.
You could do it again, couldn't you?
I could,
Trogamore answered as it retreated back into its hole.
But I will not. I am a dragon, not a wolf.
Not for you,
she said, turning her gaze.
Me, Kaya and I, needs to be mutual. I believe it would be.
Elna kept petting the wolf.
Can be done, yes?
Yes.
But you won't.
She knew the dragon well enough to know when it did not want to discuss something.
Because you're afraid.
Elna pressed on. If she couldn't say it now, then when? This was her last conversation. Of that, she was certain.
I fear nothing.
You fear the Dragon King,
Elna answered. Hearing that name, Trogamore grunted.
Pebble.
It would require giving me magic, and that's what you did for the Raven Dwellers, isn't it? You gave them magic, and they used it to destroy the world.
I awoke their minds to possibility. So kind they were. I never imagined...
I am not them, dragon!
Elna screamed, and that was her last scream, as blood filled the back of her throat. Elna coughed and spat out a stream of dark red fluid.
I want Kaya to live,
I want to live. You owe me that. You murdered my gods and left me with nothing but darkness. Nothingness when I die. I just want to see the sun again one day.
If I do this, will you stay?
No, Elna said before thinking. The dragon retreated further.
I'm not your plaything. I can't wither away in this cave, fighting, dying over and again.
Then I cannot.
Trogomor the coward, Elna said with a merciless laugh. That was what they should have called you.
The dragon roared and stuck its head back in the cave. Glowing hot fire burned in the back of its mouth as it towered over her. Elna looked up and the smile faded into disgust.
Will you burn me then? Or perhaps you'll finally eat the little pebble. Trogomor the coward. Destroyer of worlds. But too afraid to save them.
You've hurt me, Pebble.
I'm dying. And dying hurts. Elna closed her eyes.
It wasn't Matei she wanted to see in the dark, but Kaya's golden eyes as they ran together through verdant fields.
Bring the wolf close,
Trogomor said. Elna opened her eyes and tried to move, but she was so weak. Soyza and Borta appeared, coming to her aid, carrying them both closer to the dragon.
Leave,
he said to the two outsiders once Elna and Kaya were below the hole in the wall. They nodded and disappeared. Elna lay on her back, Kaya held in the crook of her arm. Trogomor leaned close and whispered in her ear, and then her whole world changed. Thank you for listening. Please join us next time for part 5 of Birth of the Banyu. To remain up to date on TerraGuard Tales, please follow me on Twitter at DSTyranny1 or go to my website at www.dstirney.com. If you enjoyed the episode, please leave a 5-star rating and review. And if you would like to help support the podcast, please consider joining the TerraGuard Tales Patreon page, where members can join and receive bonus Q&A episodes, as well as a bonus story episode per season. TerraGuard Tales, all characters, locations, stories, and content are copyright 2019, and cannot be used or distributed without express permission.